Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. And let's see your pens. Pens. And your bulletin. Okay, open up your bulletin, please. How many people are visiting this morning? Just raise your hand. We can say hello to you. Hello. How are you? How are you? How are you? My name is Miles. I'm the pastor. We're going to look at our memory verse. Now, if you look inside the left flap, we are going to change that memory verse. Okay. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. I was looking at that baby while I was dedicating that baby, and I had a flashback of my daughter, because she kind of reminds me of my daughter, and it's 15, she's 15 and a half now, and it's amazing how fast all of us in here who are parents, how fast it goes by, amen? And I remember when I had my children, people said, oh, before you know it, they'll be grown. I was like, whatever, whatever, it seems like it's going so slow now, you know, but man, it goes by quick. Chapter 16, verse 9, 2 Chronicles. Let's read that together on 3, 1, 2, 3. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Start over. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Okay. Lord, we thank you for that verse. I pray that as we study it today, that you would teach us what it means and help us to accept it as truth, that you would challenge us to be that loyal person. In Jesus' name, amen. I appreciate your prayers concerning the building. We continually meet with people, and things seem to be very blessed. Still no final word, but we're just going through a lot of preliminary things. And one of the things that we're doing is applying and getting qualified for a loan to find out how much we can borrow. And so we had a 2.5-hour meeting with bankers Thursday, Christian guys. It was so much fun. They came in and said, Miles, how can we help you? I said, I need money, money, money. But obviously that was what the meeting was about. But in the conversation, you know, we talked about, you know, all our financial particulars and how much we qualify for, blah, 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 blah. And they said something very interesting. They said, Miles, when we consider loans, we have our conversation and our processing or qualifying process is broken up into thirds. One third we look at the financial statements, one third we look at something else. I can't remember what it was. But the other third of our time is looking at the ministry that is going on at the church we're giving the money to, which is very interesting. And I mean, how many times when you go out for a loan for your house, they care about your family. You know, they just want to see your, can you pay for it? That's all. They don't care about, you know, you're married, you're single, you're divorced, you're beating your kids, not beating your kids, or you're alcoholic, or you're drunk. What, they don't care. They just want to know, do you have a job, and can you pay the loan back? But they said, no, we want to have a partnership with you as a church and know what you're doing in ministry so we can pray for you and help you as a ministry in addition to lending you money. Partnership. The title of my message today is Loyal Partner. Right on the back, Loyal Partner. Loyal partner. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those who are loyal to him. God wants to establish a partnership with us, individually, corporately, as a group, as individuals. And I want to stress today, you as individuals, that God wants to establish a loyal partnership with you. where he is going to be loyal to what he says, and he needs you to be loyal to what you say. And if those two things come together, he will show himself strong. Amen? Now, I've mentioned this verse many, many, many times. And as I was praying this whole week about this verse, I was like, God, how do I teach this? It was stumping me. But I want to make it simple. And he showed me, he said, Miles, look at all through all the Bible, all the loyal partnerships that God made with people to do special things for him. He had these special assignments, and he looked and found a man and or a woman to send on that assignment, but a partnership had to be made. In other words, when the devil went into the meeting, when God had all his angels in the meeting, the devil says, hey, I've been walking around the earth, and have you considered Job? And God says, listen, Job is a faithful man. He's a faithful man, and you can't stumble Job. And he had to call Job upon Job to go on this special assignment to prove that the faithfulness of a man in God is stronger than anything the devil can do to him. And he sent Job on this assignment, destroyed everything he had, his family, his house, all his wealth, took even almost his health to the point of death. He didn't kill him. And Job never cursed God. Job was loyal. Job was loyal, and God showed himself strong on behalf of Job by giving him the strength to deal with it. But he had a special assignment. When God needed someone to rule Egypt because there was going to be a famine, God knew there was going to be a famine, and he needed someone to be a ruler in Egypt to store up food so he could preserve his fathers, the Jewish people. So what did he do? He had Joseph kidnapped at 17, went to Egypt. God raised him up in Egypt, blessed him. He was put in jail for being falsely accused of trying to commit adultery with his boss's wife. And he said, Joseph, I know I'm going to send you through some stuff, but I need you to be loyal. I need you to be faithful. God raised him up. He ended up being ruling Egypt. And his dad came with 70 people, and all the Jews grew to 2-3 million people in Egypt. God needed a special man, a partner. When God needed someone to deliver the Jews from Egypt, he looked around and he found who? Moses. He says, Moses, we got to form a partnership. I got an assignment for you, and I need you to be loyal to me. And I'm going to send you, and you're going to talk to Pharaoh. You're 80 years old. I know you're old and crusty, but you're 80 years old. We're going to send you to Pharaoh. I know you're a murderer because you killed somebody. I know you're a fugitive because they're looking for you. I know you were raised in Pharaoh's home as an orphan. I know all these things about you. Guess what? You're perfect for the assignment. All I need you to do is be loyal. So he sends Moses with a rod in his hand, and through signs and wonders, God delivers the Jews. But Moses had to be loyal. He had to be loyal. When he needed someone to go in the lion's den, he told the Babylonian people, if you pray, they made a law, if you pray, you're going to get thrown in the lion's den. Daniel, a faithful man of God, said, listen, I pray, man. I'm praying whether you throw me in the lion's den or not. He knelt down 3 times. And prayed, opened the window to his house and said, check me out, y'all, because I'm praying. Prayed in the morning. You didn't see me, I'm going to pray at noon. If you didn't see me, I'm going to pray at night. They threw him in the lion's den because God knew he'd be loyal. And when they threatened him with death, he says, I don't care. He was loyal. They lowered him down into the pit where the lions were. And God told the lions, lions, don't eat him. He doesn't taste good. But tomorrow I'm going to send you some snacks. Some other dudes that taste real good. Daniel went to sleep with the lions. He never complained, and I wasn't there. But I promise you he wasn't kicking and screaming because them lions would have ate him just for waking them up. Being, they probably told him, listen, Daniel, you better shut up and go to sleep because we will eat you. He's okay. He went to sleep. God needed him to be loyal. Stephen was the first Christian martyr. God said, Steve, I need you to die for me. I need you to die for me. He said, okay. He died, and as they were stoning him, he looked up and said, I see the glory of God. And they killed him. He says, I need you to be loyal. All these different people were partnerships. They were agreements. And they said, we're going to trust you, God. And God said, I'm going to trust you. And he put him on this assignment, and the circumstances around the assignment were impossible. All they had to do was be loyal, and all God had to do was be strong. Now, here are all y'all. Every single one of you right now, you're on a special assignment. You may not know it, but you are. Your special assignment right now is to pay very close attention, not often go to sleep. Your special assignment today is to take notes. Your special assignment right now for the next while, however long I talk, okay, I'm looking at the clock, is to pay attention to what God wants you to know. Your special assignment is then to go do it. Your special assignment for some of you when you leave here is to tell your wife you're sorry for copping an attitude this morning because she was late. Okay. Wives, maybe your husband was late. I'm an equal opportunity person. Your special assignment is to witness to somebody at work this week. Your special assignment is to apologize to somebody this week. Your special assignment is to start praying for your kids this week. Whatever it is. But you are on a special assignment. Your whole existence has a special assignment written across it. You need to know what it is, because guess what? If you're not loyal to God, he ain't going to show himself strong on your behalf. When I was sitting in that room with those bankers, it was so much fun. We laughed. We were there for 2.5 hours. We probably cracked up for an hour of that time. Dying, gut-wrenching laugh. I said, Lord, I'm going to laugh them into submission. We laughed and laughed. And they said, well, Miles, we only qualify for this. And I said, how can I get this much? And we went back and forth, back and forth. God put me there. I had my banker. We got a guy in the church who's a banker. He was in there, bop, 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 giving him banker stuff. I was giving him Bible stuff, bop, 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 bop. Then I was giving him some football stuff, boom, 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 boom. And it was so much fun. Because it wasn't about manipulation. It was about, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. How can we make this work? How can we make this work? And it's like, you're on a special assignment. And they said the same thing. We're here from God. God sent us here. We want to help. Now, we may not be the best bank. That's fine. But we want to help. We want to go beyond qualify or not qualify. We want to be a partner. That's what God wants with you. He wants to be a partner. Okay, let's look at this. Let's look at the three aspects of the partnership. One, God's looking for partners. Two, it's based on God's strength. And three, it's based on your loyalty. Chapter 16, verse 9, it says, the eyes of the Lord, everybody say the eyes of the Lord. Say run to an afro. Now, the reason I want to say afro, and I know you heard me say it before, and some of y'all are not laughing because you heard it 10 times. I want you to get a visual of the world, okay? The eyes of the Lord. Look what they're doing. I'm looking. Yeah, I'm looking for somebody. I'm looking. You know what he's looking for? Somebody who's loyal. Yeah, she was out late last night. She can't depend on her. He's still sleeping. Can't depend on him. He don't even have a Bible. Can't depend on him. He ain't taking notes. He's going to forget everything said today, so I can't depend on him. Looking for someone who's loyal. That's it. Don't you want to be the one saying, me, God. Me, God. Thank you. One person. Try it again. Me, God. Don't you want to be the one saying me, God? Okay. Here we go. You know what the Bible says? That the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. 80% of the people do 20% of the work. That means 20%, 1 in 5, do 80% of the work. That's a general rule in churches. General. We don't want that to apply here. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 20% of the people do 80% of the praying. 20% of the people do 80% of the giving. 20% of the people do 80% of the serving. We don't want that to be here. We want the people saying, no, I want to be used, God. I want to be used, God, because there's a whole lot of stuff to be done. Isaiah saw the glory of God in a vision, and he saw God, and he says, oh, my gosh, I'm a sinner. I'm undone. And the angel flew with the coal from the altar and touched his mouth and said, you are cleansed of your sin. And then he hears God say, whom shall I send, and who will go for us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Isaiah said, send me. Oh, God's looking for someone to send to your job. God's looking for someone to send to your school. God's looking for someone to send to your team. God's looking for someone to send to your neighborhood. And are you saying, oh, man, maybe I'll call up Miles? Don't call me up. You need to say, send me, God. I got a big mouth too. Amen. Yeah, y'all got, I mean, you could talk, you can yell, you can scream, you can pray, you could serve. Send me, God. That's what he said. God is looking. Could you be that person? Could you be the person that God shows himself strong? Could you be the person through something amazing, impossible, tingable happens in your life? You know what? Maybe you don't think you're worth that. Maybe. Is a gentleman at this church. He spoke at a church last week on the behalf of small groups. And the pastor was telling me he did an amazing job. And he says that the pastor up at the church was telling me that I had asked this man to do something here at the church when we first started. And he said, Miles, I don't think I'm qualified. And I said, you're not. But that doesn't matter. We're never qualified. I'm not qualified. I'm a sinner. But in Jesus, he's my qualification. He's my qualification. So when God says he wants to do something good to you, if you say, I'm not good enough, say, okay, get past that. You're not. God is. He loves you so much. So don't get hung up on it. And a lot of times we think, well, I don't want to pray to get blessed. You know the Jabez prayer, oh, God bless me. Pray the prayer, fool. Pray the prayer. It's in the Bible. God bless me. God is not gonna, you can't force God to bless you. You can't force God to do something for you he don't want to do. If God hooks you up, get hooked up. Don't be the one to say, well, God, you know, I don't think I deserve this. Of course you don't. Of course you don't. And he'll tell you that. You don't. But you know what? I love you so much, I want to give it to you anyway. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Psalm 139:17. Listen to this. Well, let me say this. Then I'll read it. If I came up here one day, and many of y'all visited, so please listen to the whole story. If I came up here one today and said, I am so precious to God. I'm talking about myself. I am so precious to God, and he thinks so many things towards me. They are his thoughts towards me are so many and in multitude that you couldn't even count them. More than the sand of the sea. Matter of fact, if you went down to the beach and started counting all the little pebbles, God's thoughts towards me, the good ones, are more than the sand of the sea.
See, man, he's stuck on himself.
Well, that's what the Bible says. It says, how precious are your thoughts towards me, O God. How great is the sum of them. How great is the sum of the precious thoughts that if I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. You believe that? I mean, even in your egotistical, arrogant thought, you couldn't come up with that many good things. You couldn't. Think about it. Okay. Think about it. What would you say? I'm intelligent. I'm cool. I'm good looking. I'm suave. I can make money. I could, you know, just think of all the positive things you can think of for all the humans you know and put them all on you. Okay. I can act. You can't act. I can sing. You can't sing. I'm athletic. You ain't athletic. Just put them on yourself. You would only come up with maybe 100 things. God says, man, I know stuff about you I love you don't even know about. Ain't that a trip? Isn't that a trip? That God knows stuff about you don't even know about. Yeah, praise God. Because we're so consumed with the negative because of the devil. God says, oh, man, I'm thinking stuff about you that's so good. I'm thinking stuff about you so good. I want to bless you. Can you be the one that I be strong on your behalf? Can you be that one? Because, listen, I'm picking you. I'm picking you. So can you pick me? The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. He's calling you. Let's go. Let me use you. Let me be strong on your behalf. And you're going, I don't know, God. I don't know. I was tutoring my daughter in math yesterday. Daddy, can you help me with my math? I love math. So she says, tell me the problem. The
circumference of an isosceles triangle is 50 centimeters, and the two congruent sides are twice the length each of the third side. How much are the sides?
So I started working through the, okay, do this, and what's this, and what's the unknowns, and make the equation, and every time you see is, every time you read the word is, it means equal, and so if this is this, it's equal, da, da, da. And so she's working out. So she starts to figure it out, but she's a little nervous to say it. So I'm like, say it. What do you do?
But what do I do next?
What do you think?
But I don't know. What do you think? I don't know.
Just say it. And I'm not yelling out of anger. It's like she keeps going, I don't know, I don't know. And I'm like, she knows it though. She does know it. So she starts writing and she won't let me look.
Is it 10?
Yes! Yes! It's 10! It's 10! So many times we're like, we should do it. Ask God, I don't know. Just do it. Ask him to bless you. Ask him to use you. Ask him to show you. Be this person that he's looking for. Don't stand in the background.
I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago about going to the prison with me. And we called the prison. And the guy went on vacation or something. He wouldn't call us back and whatever, whatever. And we finally got a call back. They said, yeah, you can bring people. I think I vaguely read the email that it can only be men, but it's in the fall, so we'll let you know. But if you go to the prison, you know, I'm going to go to the prison, and I'm just going to stand in the back.
That's funny. You can't go to the prison and not do anything. The guy says you can't bring people that are going to do nothing. They have to be counselors. No problem. And you're going to go into prison, and you're on special assignment. God needs you to do one thing. Okay? You're going to go into prison, you're just going to kind of walk in, door's going to close, I'll just stand back here. And somebody, serial killer, okay? You seen him on America's Most Wanted, the Japanese Most Wanted, and the Mexican Most Wanted. He's just going to ooze and creep right over next to you. And you're going to say, God, you're going to be like, I see that you on TV. You're going to be the one that God's going to pick to use. Not me, Lord. Yes, you, because you know what? All I need you to do is be loyal and say this one thing to him. It ain't about you. God is looking for somebody that would just be that simply loyal and faithful to him. Next one. God is strong. Everybody say God is strong. Say God is strong. Now, here's what he's strong in. Many things, but I'm just going to highlight two. One is that God is strong in that he can create the assignment perfectly for you. The Bible says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we walk in them. In other words, when you find yourself in this impossible situation on this special assignment and you don't know what's going to happen, you have to realize, look, look, wait a minute. God put me here. That means God created or allowed to be created this circumstance or this assignment that has all these impossible barriers, and God is going to hook it up. God put me here. When I was talking to the bank, it was so much fun. I'm not stressed over the loan at all because I know God's going to hook it up. So when they're talking about these many millions and these many millions, and they said, well, Miles, we can only give you this much money. I said, okay. What do I got to do to get this much? And they said, well, if you do this, you can get this much. I said, okay. If you're going to give me this much if I do this, what if I do this, and do this. Would you give me this much? This is what going back and forth, and they're looking like they're going, this brother is like crazy. And it's like, okay, God put this circumstance, and you know what's funny? It was clear as day. I'm asking all these questions. And I was just going overboard. I just kept asking, right? And God said to me, you need to shut up right now. You know everything you need to know. And I told him that because I was asked this question. And I said, you know what God just told me? That I don't need to know to answer this question. He says, all you need to know is this. God set it up. We laughed. We prayed. But you know what? God can set up the circumstance and prepare you to be in it. So when you're in it and you think, I don't know what to do, you have to remember, wait a minute, God put me here. When Moses was standing at the sea and he had 2 million Israelites with him trying to cross the sea and the Egyptians coming and these people were slaves. They didn't have any weapons and the Egyptians were warriors. They had chariots and horses and Moses standing there with a stick. That's all he had, was a stick. God said, Moses, you remember the locusts? Yeah. You remember the lice? Yeah. You remember the darkness I sent on Egypt? Yeah. Remember how I killed the firstborn? Yeah. You remember all that stuff? Yeah. Well, guess what? I'm getting ready to do something funky right now. Raise that stick up, and the water will part. Are you sure? Are you sure? Yeah. Do you know how much that dude was fired? Can you imagine? 2 million people. Moses, we're going to kill you for bringing it on Moses. Oh, I'm going to get him. And God tells you to lift the staff up, and you lift it up, and the whole sea goes. Can you imagine that dude going? Can you imagine? But right before he lifted it up, I'm sure he's thinking, God, you better do it because we ain't done. Special assignment. All he needed him was to be loyal. God put him in a circumstance. He put him in a circumstance. He has the power to create the circumstance, and he has the power to deliver you from the circumstance. Oh, he has power. Ephesians 1:18 says, I pray, Paul's saying, I pray also that the eyes of your heart, say the eyes of your heart, may be enlightened. In order that you may know the hope which God has called you. The hope that God has called me is eternal. The reason Stephen could die and pray that God would forgive the people who killed him is because his hope wasn't being killed. He was going to heaven. He was going to heaven. Have you ever stopped and thought, I'm going to go to heaven one day. I'm never going to die. Think about that. I'm going to heaven. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope that you were called to, the riches of his glorious inheritance. And watch this. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of his mighty strength. My friends, the gifts that God has given you, the spiritual gifts, have unknown potential. And this is something God is challenging me in right now as we speak. Because as we look to all the stuff that's going on with moving and all that stuff, I'm thinking, God, what is possible? Think about that. What is possible? All things. All things. No. Break it down, because I'm simple. Break it down to, in San Diego, what we're doing with this church right now, what is possible? Oh, do you really want to know? Woo, I want to know. Do you really want to know what's possible in your life? Or do you just want to get through today? No, you want to know what's possible, God. Tell me what you can do. I can do anything you want to do. I'm a bad, bad mamma jamma. That's what God's saying. So what you want to do? You feel froggy? Let's jump. Come on. What you want to do? He says, look, Paul says, I pray that your eyes will be open and you can see his power. That you can understand that there's no limit. And that God's looking for someone who wants to see that power. I was on my knees about two or three months ago next to my bed praying. And I prayed, God, I was faced with a situation. I said, God, in this situation, I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. You know what God told me? Pray for some. I was like, yeah, huh? I was like, okay. God, I need faith. There you go. Boom. There you go. Boom. And he's been saying, challenge me. What do you think is possible? What do you want to be possible? Keep asking. Let's keep going. Do you ever wonder how much your spiritual gift can be used to do?
I mean, are you satisfied with the fruit of your gifts now? Are you satisfied? I mean, do you have the gift of evangelism? How many people do you lead to the Lord? A month, a day, a week, once a year? Pfft, let me tell you something. Your gift has a whole lot more potential than that. Are you a teacher? Well, how many people are you teaching? Are you a prayer warrior? What miracles happen in your life? Whatever it is, God's got a whole lot more where that comes from. So you need to be saying, Lord, I want to see the maximum. As we're reading through the Bible, we read through Elisha asking God for a double portion of the Spirit that was on Elijah. I said, God, I want a double portion of what I got. I want a double portion of everybody I know. Just give me more. He said, you sure? Okay, now. Boom, boom, boom. Now, I'm not saying God gives you everything you ask for when you ask for just like that, but it got to start with you asking and believing, and then it starts to come. As you walk faithfully, the Bible says when we are weak, we are strong. When you find yourself in a special assignment that you don't have the strength to do, you don't have the wisdom to do, you don't have the knowledge to do, when you find yourself in an impossible situation because you obeyed God now and you trust God, that's when you are the strongest. Because that's when you're going to cry out to him. We go to this prison, oh my gosh. The reason people have such amazing experiences in prison is because when they get into prison is when they realize that they are so scared of death and all their symbols of security don't work anymore. You got muscles? So what? You got a lot of money? So what? You got a lot of political power? So what? What's your security when you go into prison? Zip. God. That's why as soon as people go into prison, they get to get the gift of tongues. As soon as they walk in, buddy, they can't even pray straight. They think they're speaking in tongues, just mumbling. God, help me. But that's when God says, oh, you want me to help now? Okay, here you go. And people come out of prison or they come out of some ministry situation in some third world country and they go, it was the most amazing thing. You know what? The country wasn't the amazing thing. The prison wasn't the amazing thing. The amazing thing was that you experienced God because you let go. That was all that was about it. That was all that was about. Trust me. That's all it was. And if you can learn to let go every day, if you can learn to be weak every day, if you can learn to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, here I am reporting for duty. What do you want me to do? What assignment do you have for me to do? I am going to be loyal today. Show yourself strong. If it's impossible, I trust you with it. He says, are you sure now? Yes, sir. Okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell in the fire. I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I'll just give you a little preview because I love that sermon so much. I believe they fell in the fire on their own power. Because the dudes taking them in the fire were dead. I believe they said, Lord, God, they're dead. The fire killed them and didn't kill us. They said, hey, they walked in the fire. Why? They saw the power of God. Didn't faze them. Last part is you got to be loyal. You have to be loyal. God is not looking for a rich or poor person. He's not looking for a black, white, Hispanic, Asian person. He's not looking for a male or female. He's not looking for someone who's read the Bible 5 times or 0 times. The Bible says in Isaiah 66:1-2, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you would build for me? And where is the place of rest for me? For all those things my hands have made and those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I look. This is what you could do for me. On him who is poor, and not spiritually poor, not financially poor, him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. That's what I'm looking for. All that other stuff doesn't mean anything. There are rich people like that and poor people like that. There are people of all ethnic backgrounds, all genders like that. That's all he's looking for. Someone who trembles at his word. You don't want to tremble at his word? Hey, forget it. Forget it. Talk to me about how much of his word you tremble at. How much of his word you obey. How much of his word you memorize. There's 3 things about being loyal. One, a loyalty, and as a matter of fact, I'll give you a little math symbol. Loyalty, and then write an equal sign, loyalty, equal sign, and over the equal sign, write a sideward S, like a little snake. It means congruent. Anybody here in math know what that means? You remember that? Remember congruent? Something is congruent. That means it's more than equal. It's perfectly equal. Loyalty means a covenant-keeping relationship. You are in a covenant-keeping relationship. God, I made a covenant with you. You made a covenant with me, and we are going to be loyal to that. We're going to keep that. Keep your salvation covenant, number one. Keep your salvation covenant. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus was Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and he forgave you of your sin and cleansed you of your sin, you walked away from your old life. Keep that covenant. Don't walk back. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You and I, as believers in Christ, are not citizens of the United States of America. Not citizens of San Diego. We're citizens of heaven. Matter of fact, I just got a little, I'm going to show you, you won't be able to see it, but I'll show it to you anyway. I just got my little clergy card, a new one. Nice colors, got a little rock symbol on it right there. It says I'm a minister. I can get free parking at the hospital. I go to the gate and go, bam! You got a little card like this. It says you belong in heaven. You just happen to be borrowing that body you got that you think is so highly of. It's nothing like the one you're going to get. You're a citizen of heaven. Keep that covenant. Be faithful to that. Jesus bought you with his blood. Be faithful to that. And so when God puts you in a special assignment, you realize, you know what? I don't belong to these people. I'm not obligated to these people. I don't have to worry about peer pressure. Some of your friends, there's going to come a day with your friends, you're going to have to say, no, this is where I draw the line. That's okay. That's okay. That is so freeing. Ooh, I don't need you. I don't need you to like me. I don't need you to agree with me. It don't matter. It don't matter. Me and God are on the same page. He is my Savior. You are not. Do you know there's not one human being on this earth that can determine whether you go to heaven or hell? It can't take your joy, can't take your eternity, can't take your spiritual gifts, can't take your God-given destiny. They can't take that from you. They can't take anything eternal from you. They can kill your body, your soul be with the Lord eternally. Oh, that's good news. Keep that covenant. Next one, keep your trust covenant. Keep your trust covenant. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding in all your ways. Everybody say all. Not some, not 99.999. All your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. When God's lowering you down into the lion's den, trust him. When the lions start breathing on you, trust him. When the lions start licking your leg, getting ready to chomp it off, trust him. I was at the zoo. I love and hate going to the zoo. I love it because I can see the animals, but I hate seeing them locked up. And there was this white tiger we got behind the scenes. And we went into the back where the tigers were in cages, and they were like, from here, that microphone, these cages. Sad. There was this white tiger, and he was an enclosement, and we were at the gate where he goes into the enclosement, and he came up to the fence. It's just a regular link fence, and he had his nose up against the fence, like this far from me, and I was talking to him. Yo, man, if it was me, I'd let you out. But he was going. And I wanted so bad to touch him. And I was blowing on him. He's going to get slayed in the spirit. Be filled, Tony. But he stood there with his, like he was standing with his side to us, his back to us, but he would stay right there. But when he would smell
me from blowing it, it would make him come to the fence. Because the scent is so big with animals. So I kept blowing because I wanted him to face me. And when Daniel was getting lowered into the lion's den, they were, here comes lunch. He trusted God, though. And when they opened their mouth, he trusted God. And he just sat there. He trusted God. And when God puts you where he puts you and you don't understand what's going on, trust him. You said you were going to trust him. Trust him. That's all you need. That's all he needs you to do. Trust that he's going to tell you what to say. He's going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell you what not to say. He's going to tell you when to shut up. He's going to tell you when to speak. He's going to tell you when to yell, when to speak softly, when to speed up, and when to slow down. Trust him. Surrender all you know about yourself to all you know about God and let him control you. The last covenant is keep your obedience covenant. Keep your obedience covenant. Be loyal to the fact that you said you were going to obey him. The Bible says in 1 John 5:3, to love God is to obey God. You love God, obey him. If you don't obey him, you don't love him. Very simply. I told you several times before about the story about my son telling my wife, his mother, how he loves her. Oh, I love you, mommy. Give me a kiss. I love you, mommy. And she's his little baby. She's always hugging and kissing on him. Yeah, whatever. It's like, man, give me some of that. You know what I'm saying? I pay the bills here. You know what I'm saying? I got the ring. So he lied one day. So I said, here's your punishment. You can't kiss your mother or tell her you love her for a week. Seems very cruel. How many of y'all think that's pretty cruel? Raise your hand. Yeah, well, it don't matter. It's my son. Here's why it's not cruel. Because I prayed about it. No. Here's why it's not cruel. Because if you love somebody, you obey that somebody. If you love say you love somebody and you don't obey him, you're confused. So what you need to do is you need to think about it. It's only a week. It's not going to kill him. Come on now. You lied to your mother's face. You lied to your mother's face. You don't lie. When I grew up, you don't lie. There's punishment for lying. Not, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Bap! That's what you get. Bap! Hey, I grew up in a Catholic school. Let me tell you something. My Catholic school did so much good for me. We had nuns in our school. We'll jack you up. And the nuns were so cool. They were so cool because they had those long robes. And you couldn't see their feet, so it looked like they floated. And they had their hands in the underneath. You couldn't see their hands either. They just walk around. We had Sister Rosalita, Sister Wilfred, Sister Agnes. I remember this is from first to eighth grade. I learned to fear God in that school. No, for real. I'm not trying to make a joke. Even though it's funny now looking back. I learned to fear God. We had the Ten Commandments on the wall. You don't do that. And I learned for 8 years, you don't do that. And there were consequences. The best thing I ever learned. And my father was the same way, so it wasn't like it wasn't getting reinforced at home or they weren't reinforcing what I was being taught. I grew up, you do not do these things. You do not do these things. Be obedient to God. So when my son lies, like, what are you thinking, boy? What? Here's your punishment. So for a week, I would see him. And you know, I got like, I ain't one of them soft dads. You know, where I'm going, okay, I'm sorry. We'll make it 2 days. Nah, it's a week. Because I would see him going, like, to his mother, oh, I can't do it. Oh, man, take that to school. Don't be trying to manipulate me. But you know, in that week time, I said, Miles, do you know what you're learning? Uh-huh. What? I can't lie. I can't do both. Let me tell you something. We're too easy on our kids. Your kids talk back to you? Hey, too easy on them. I got whooped. Growing up, I got whooped by neighbors. Can I get a witness? Shoo, shoo, shoo. You want me to whoop your son for you? Yeah. I get whooped by everyone coming down the street. Get that child abuse stuff. I mean, child abuse is a real thing. I'm not trying to minimize that. But, you know, hey,
A child left himself will bring shame on his mother. A child left himself will bring shame on his mother. And so I told him, you can't tell your mother you love her. Here's what I want you to learn. I want you to learn that love means that you obey. That's what love means. Love is not just something you say. Same thing goes with God. Some of y'all tell God you love him all the time, and you go out and sin all week. You don't love God. You don't love God. You are playing a game with yourself. To love is to obey. Period. End of story. There's no outside interpretation that can be separated from that. You can add to it. You can't separate it. I was at Visalia yesterday and Friday speaking. And I was speaking yesterday to some kids, and right before I started my second session, I did the first session on the gospel, we did the altar call, and then the second session, this kid raised his hand. I said, there ain't questions. Anybody want to ask questions about anything? Just go ahead. This kid raised his hand and said, if I don't do what you did the last session, which was to get saved, and I wait till I die, can I wait till I die and just do everything I want until the day I die and then do that? And go to heaven. I said, yeah, sure. You can smoke crack, go to jail, do drugs, get diseases, get depressed, become an alcoholic. You can do all that. And then if you repent, you go to heaven. He says, you mean, he couldn't believe it. It's too good to be true to him. He says, you mean I can take advantage of God like that? I said, you're not taking advantage of God. You are being a fool. Because you are cheating yourself out of the blessing of living for God and being free from all that junk. So if you want to ruin your life and then at the end realize that you were wrong and get saved, the people do that every day. But if that's not taking advantage of God, you're just being suckered by the devil to think you're taking advantage of God. He said, oh, then he left. I mean, he left like 2 minutes later. I guess he got his answer. But you know what? God says, don't play me like that. Be faithful. I want to bless you. Don't try to have both. You ain't going to have both. God's not stupid. We're not stupid. I mean, that's stupid. We're stupid, but we ain't that stupid. I mean, you know, we let people get over on us a few times, but God, you never get over on God. You never. God's, oh, hey, look at them stupid. They're so stupid. They think they're fooling me. I was there last night in Tijuana. God was there. Not Miles. God was there. He was there last night when you were yelling at your wife, beating your kids. He was there. He was there when you were drunk last night. He was there. He was there at the strip joint last night at the F Street bookstore. He was there. I was driving by the F Street bookstore and saw a dude that I knew driving his car from the side of it. And he's a Christian guy, and I was shocked. But he was coming from a store behind it. There was something behind it. I beat my horn. Hey, man, what's up? God is everywhere. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. May this week we fulfill our assignment. And our homework assignment is identify your special assignment and be loyal. Our homework is identify our special assignment and be loyal. Lord Jesus, may we start with today. What do you want us to do today? We are a partner. You want to show yourself strong on our behalf, but we must be loyal. Thank you for offering us such a prestigious position to partner with you to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, we're going to sing a song. I want you to write your homework assignment, which is to identify your assignment. Knowing your whole life is an assignment. And then identify what you need to be loyal at and do it. Amen? Please continue to pray, and I'll see you at the door. We'll sing a song.